Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
The time is upon us. The Nerdist television show on BBC America is premiering Saturday, March 30th, as part of BBC America's Supernatural Saturday in Canada. I believe it's on Space. And so 8 o'clock will be Doctor Who, 9 o'clock will be Orphan Black, 10 p.m., Nerdist television show, and we have amazing guests this season. The first episode is a salute to BBC America, so it's a bunch of folks on BBC America like Dominic Monaghan and Tatiana Maslany and Matt Smith and Jenna Louise Coleman, who is this podcast episode. And then week two, it's a tribute to zombies with Robert Kirkman and Michael Rooker, and Karen Gillan's in that episode. And then week three, I believe, is John Hamm, and then down the road is Elijah Wood and Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen and Jack McBrayer and the Gillian Jacobs and Miranda Bakarin, and I can't believe the wonderful folks that we got. And this show is super fun. It's an hour long. Tune in, check it all out. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Shutterstock. Shutterstock basically has over 700,000 high-quality video clips, and they basically just help you take your creative project to the next level, whether it's a website, advertisement, multimedia presentation, any kind of film project. They have clips in a variety of digital formats, most come in HD, and they're from clips from all over the world. Like, any project you need, they're going to have a clip. If you can't find a clip in 700,000, then you need to just go start your own movie studio, because you're doing some next level stuff. But Shutterstock gives you all the assets you need. It's a complete offering. They have amazing customer service, flexible pricing. You can choose between individual clips, video packs, download in HD. You can save in standard def or web formats, and also a huge image library of photos, vectors, icons, infographic templates. So there's no credit card needed. You're just going to go to Shutterstock.com, start an account, begin using Shutterstock to help imagine what your next project could be like, and save video selections you find in your clip box. Once you decide to purchase, use the offer code Nerdist3, and new accounts will receive 30% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com, 30% off new accounts. Use the offer code Nerdist3. Jenna Louise Coleman, the new companion, Clara Oswald. I'm very excited. Doctor Who's coming back, and Clara she's been fantastic on the couple times that we've seen her. Of course, we miss dear Rory, we miss dear Amy, but that's the wonderful thing about Doctor Who, is that we can still miss the companions that we loved and still fall in love with new companions and new people on the show. And I really think Jenna Louise Coleman is a home run, and she was an absolute delight. And she was over for a couple of days from England, and we got to sit down with her and do a podcast, and then we got a little clip of the podcast on video, which we're going to put on the Nerdist TV show. So this was really fun, just to kind of get to know Jenna a little behind. Just look, what is behind the Clara? So if you're a Doctor Who fan, then you should be delighted by this. If you're not a Doctor Who fan, then you'll just enjoy listening to her talk, because she's very charming and has the best accent ever. Or we have an accent to her, But is it xenophobic to say that she has the accent? Well, to us, she has the accent. I don't know if our accents are as delightful as hers. But here you go, The Nurse Podcast, episode number 339 with Jenna Louise Coleman.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
This is how it starts. There's no official start.
We always sort of just ease into it.
We're talking about flying.
It's like an action or a go.
The wings aren't going to snap off. The wing is one long piece.
No, the wing's not going to snap off. What I'm worried about is the engine.
There's four engines if you're flying to England. You're fine.
Yeah, but I mean...
No buts.
I just feel like...
Buddy, you need a
hug. All stay on the plane.
You know what you need, Matt? You know
what
those? You know those pillows that are like a person that you can spoon with?
Yes, I'm listening.
You need a spoon buddy pillow for your air travel.
I had Mike Shaw next to me. I could have just grabbed him.
He's your spoon buddy. But we're not here to talk about your spoon buddy. Jenna Louise Coleman! Oh, my God! Nice to see you.
You too.
thank you for coming to America.
Thanks for having me.
You came here just for this podcast, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm doing nothing else while I'm here.
This is so nice of you to insist that BBC bring you all the way to...
You see, I couldn't make it. I couldn't make the second part in London.
Right, yeah. So you owed us, pretty much.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought, seeing as I was so rude and couldn't cancel the appointment, I'd best fly out to LA.
That's very sweet of you. Thanks. Big points already.
Matt wouldn't have done that.
Matt, he would have done that?
No, he wouldn't have.
No, he wouldn't have done that.
Because he's like, meh, I'm the doctor. I don't need to go anywhere.
I know.
Whereas she's like, you know what? I'm going to make a good first impression. Here I am. Well done.
Technically, that's what a companion would do.
That's right. Good job.
Travel.
You would travel.
So what do you think of America? It's just radio studios. That's all America is.
I've been to LA for it before, actually. I lived out here for a couple of months. So I'm kind of a bit familiar.
How was the breathing when you left LA? Were you like, oh my God, there's actually air outside of LA?
Yeah.
Because you don't know it when you're here. But when you go somewhere else and you inhale, you're like, oh, clean air.
Well, I've come from London, so
it
kind of does feel like clean air, really.
Yeah. London's not great for air.
And all British children do a stint as chimney sweeps. Is that correct?
Yeah.
At least that's what Dickensian novels would have us believe.
Everybody does it from about the age of kind of 11 to 12.
Yeah, that's when your prime chimney sweep years.
Matt, scoot the mic over just a little bit there.
Scoot Jenna's mic over here.
Yeah, just a little bit over there. It's probably going to fall. Yeah, there we go. Good. Now we got it.
Hi.
Hey. So how's it been so far? It's sort of, how long were you working on the show, or did you work on the show before they announced that it was going to be you?
No, it was good, actually. I had about 6 weeks of kind of total paranoia and secrecy before they announced it.
And you couldn't tell anyone?
No, I couldn't tell anybody, to the point where, you know, talking to your agent on the phone, you've got like code words and kind of like you're checking over your shoulder to make sure no one can hear you. Having a secret is weird.
What was your code word?
Oh, Men on Waves.
Men on Waves.
I spent so long. So I was auditioning for Men on Waves, which obviously was Doctor Who. So when you turn up to your meeting, you have to go, hi, I'm here for Men on Waves. And apparently, because it's the same that happened with Karen, it's an anagram of what would be the companion's name. So I was trying to work it out for ages, kind of thinking like Eva somebody, or but apparently it was Woman Seven.
Oh. Interesting. Men on Waves. Now I kind of want to see that show.
It was she was auditioning for that movie, that surfing movie that Renner did. Renner. Who is it? I get Jeremy Renner and the Scottish guy confused all the time.
Ewan McGregor?
Nope. The other Scottish guy.
Gerard Butler.
Yep.
What surfing movie? The one Blue something?
Yeah, Premium Blue Rush.
No.
I did have an audition for that.
Did you really?
And I never went because they told me to turn up in a bikini. I'm not even joking. I didn't go.
Turn up in a bikini. Oh, by the way, can you turn up in a bikini?
Literally.
And the bummer part is a lot of people did.
Well, there are people in the movie, so yes.
Yeah,
people
but
did show up in a bikini.
But they really, I always, with auditions, I don't know what it's like I don't know why I would think that auditioning in England is any different than auditioning here. Does it feel as kind of gross as it does here, or is it better over there somehow?
It's different. It's kind of, they don't audition as many people. Well, obviously in the UK, because it's kind of, it's smaller. So you get a bit more time in an audition. It depends. I mean, I came here once during pilot season, which is kind of always pretty mad.
Yeah.
You know, so I was kind of jumping in the car, kind of listening to an Australian accent, like kind of getting into that character. And then you've got a change in the boot of your car and then you drive off to your next audition, kind of doing a Southern American accent. So it's kind of, it's mad. I enjoyed it.
Can you, how's your American accent?
I can't do that in a room full of Americans.
Sure you can.
What do I say? What's something?
You say, I sure love these delicious buffalo wings here in America.
But you see, if I do this, I'm never going to get a job, am I? It's an American job. I sure. LA accent.
Yeah, that's good.
You're good, you're good.
Yeah, you got, sure. I, what is it? Buffalo
sure.
wings?
I sure love these delicious buffalo wings here in America.
American. I sure love those buffalo wings here in America.
Okay. Yeah,
that works.
Okay? It works. It totally works. What's the key to the American accent?
Is it? Apparently, it's R's mm-hmm. for English people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, I got told to say everything as if you're kind of like right.
That's right. I guess if you're in England, everything sounds a bit like a question, doesn't it?
True, very true.
Because you're always checking in with people.
Yeah.
Am I saying this right?
Looking for a bit of reassurance.
Is this okay?
yeah, totally. Very polite, and I'm
but,
sorry.
But here, this is okay, isn't it? Like, that's yeah. how we say it in America. Sort of rhetorical. I don't want you to answer me. I just want you to make eye contact. Do you? Have you spent any other time here other than Los Angeles? Have you been to New York? Have you been to any other places in America?
Yeah, I've spent a little bit of time in New York, kind of 4 or 5 days here and there. And like we drove up the Pacific Coast Highway up to San Francisco. Nice. And so, yeah, it's great.
It really is nice. You could just drive off that cliff at any moment.
You are just doomsayer
well,
today.
I'm just saying. Did you notice that when you're driving? You're like, what
Sunday.
Happens if I accidentally just fall off a cliff? Will anyone notice? That's what I wonder.
That's okay. So basically, here's what we've gotten from you two times now,
uh-huh,
Matt.
Uh-huh.
Both times, there was some horrible thing that you were afraid was going to happen to you.
Yeah.
And then you were concerned about the aftermath.
Yeah, what, like,
would there be a special about me?
What's the episode like?
Would people notice?
Who shows up at my funeral? Like, are you too busy? Are you doing stand up somewhere? And you
I'll
can't
be
go?
Performing somewhere. I can't go to your funeral. I'm sorry. I wanted to be there. But I had to go perform
That's
in Michigan.
That's valid. I would understand.
You would have wanted it that way.
Yeah, I would have. Chris, I want you to make people laugh.
Are you a doomsayer or are you generally upbeat?
I was pretty upbeat when I was driving by through the Pacific Coast Highway. Sun was shining.
You didn't think about falling off
whales.
Into the abyss of the ocean?
No, I was kind of listening to like Tracy Chapman, Fast Car, and like, you know.
On repeat for 7 hours.
You got a fast car. You're gonna drive off the cliff and away.
Oh, you heard those lyrics too?
I'm gonna go to, I don't know if I'm gonna drive or take a train, but I'm going to London in May and then gonna pop up to Scotland.
You should probably take a plane.
I'm not gonna drive from America
okay,
to London. But I love, London is such a lovely, I love it so much.
It's adorable. You know what it is to Americans who visit London? It's like a theme park.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a giant theme park. Because, you know, if you go to Universal Studios in Hollywood,
yeah, that
which is a theme park, yeah. right? Part of the theme park is devoted to a tiny Britain. So you walk over there, they have the mailbox, they have the phone booth, they have pubs. But then you get over to actual London, and it's like the biggest theme park in the world. And everyone talks like Harry Potter.
I've been sorted into Ravenclaw. Do you know what your house is?
The one beginning with S.
Slytherin?
Slytherin.
You're a Slytherin?
I don't know. That's, I don't, yeah.
No, wait a minute. I was under the impression that anyone in England just absorbed all of the Harry Potter books.
I enjoyed the films, but I've never read the books.
They're fun.
I know.
Don't worry about it.
I think.
I don't care about either. I really don't. I mean, I understand them, you know, they're like, yeah, good job. Good job. Those are enjoyable movies for people, I'm sure. But I'm not on board. It's too much magic.
I like the magic. They do have a Harry Potter theme park as well now.
Yes, in England, because there's one here in Orlando, Florida, too.
Ah, yeah.
Well, where is the one you're talking about?
Near Pinewood Studios, like where they
Oh, yes, the Harry Potter experience. That was the thing we were going to try to get Pierce Brosnan to go to us with. Like, we were going to have drag him there just because he's not James Bond anymore. We're like, well, maybe we'll make him a wizard. But it never worked out.
Sounded like that didn't really pan out too well for us.
It, well, you know, we're just scheduling.
Matt has a lot of stories, but I want to talk to Jenna. So take it down. Where did you grow up? What did you study? This is your time for people, because a lot of people who listen to this show also love Doctor Who. Uh-huh. It's a big crossover. And so a lot of people are going, who is this sprightly, young, energetic woman on Doctor Who? And so this is your opportunity to tell everyone. So let's dig in.
Okay.
Where'd you grow up?
Well, let's start at the beginning.
Yeah. I was born to
No, no, no. Well, start at conception.
You will actually like this because I technically really did grow up in a theme park.
What?
I was born in a place called Blackpool, which basically is the Pleasure Beach, which is this huge theme park. They've got the biggest roller coaster in Europe called the Big One.
Oh, my God. The Big One.
The Big One, or the Pepsi Max.
Okay.
The Pepsi Max.
So Blackpool is like where I'm from, is like this huge kind of holiday resort. So people, when you say you're from Blackpool, think you live next door to the Pleasure Beach or grew up like in the Pleasure Beach. And it's famous for like rock. You know rock?
No.
No.
A stick of rock. Like is that, sweet.
Oh, candy?
Like
rock candy.
Yeah, rock candy. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's Blackpool rock. That's what it's famous for. So that's where I'm from. And then my granddad worked on the promenades and kind of, you know, like the hoopla stores and all that kind of thing, and tells you your horoscopes. And that's
really
that's
so much fun. Uh-huh. Did you ever go out there and work the boardwalk?
Yeah, I did when I was like 14. It was my summer job. So you kind of have to go out and try to talk to people and get them to come and play the hoopla stall, even though you can never ever win. That's kind of an insider's secret.
I've wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah.
My granddad had he's got the most amazing stories. And I love this story because there was this, he was saying one day there was this lady who came and she was spending so much money on the stalls to the point where it got to like hundreds of pounds. And he said to her, and he kind of took her aside and said, look, you need to stop because you're not going to win. And she's like, she said, my husband's been cheating on me. And this is basically his cash. So she was like, stop. Like wasting his money, like throwing at this hoopla stall, trying to win a teddy bear.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
So that's where I'm from.
So then he said, step right up. What were those? Is that a seasonal thing? Is that just like summers?
Summers are kind of pretty big because the weather's not great. But so it's like opens up as like a big holiday summer resort.
Is it still a good place to go or is it like,
It's the Pleasure Beach is still going, but it's kind of, it's kind of died a bit now because people kind of go to Europe or to America and, you know.
You know what the Pleasure Beach sounds like? That sounds like the setting for that hit show, Men on Waves.
I'm gonna pitch this to Steven.
Men on Waves. It's got to appear somewhere in the show at some point.
It probably will. It must do. Steven's full of them. All of the kind of anagrams are all kind of peppered in all of the scripts everywhere.
Sure, yeah. Well, Torchwood, Doctor Who. Uh-huh. That's the only one I know. I was hoping someone else.
Men on Waves.
Men on Waves. What
was Karen's was Panic Moon.
Panic Moon, yes. That's right.
Men on Waves sounds like a supergroup with like Duran Duran, Aha, and Flock of Seagulls got together and became Men on Waves.
And they're playing at the Pleasure Beach.
Oh my God, I love it.
That's exactly where they would play. Did you audition with scenes from the show or was it, did you meet or was it, did he just kind of write something for you to?
I started with an audition to play a kind of a Victorian governess, kind of very Mary Poppins-esque, like you saw the character in the Christmas special.
Yeah.
So that was going to be the companion for the entire series, was going to be this character who's very kind of, you know, telling the doctor what to do and la 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 la. And then they, as I was auditioning, basically everything changed and Stephen decided on something different. So then I had another audition and I had three characters to play at this one audition and I didn't understand anything about it. I was like, they clearly just don't know what they want because I'm playing like three different characters, like who's the companion kind of thing. But they couldn't really explain anything. So it was a case of just turning up and Matt was in this audition and they were like, you're trying loads of different accents and different characters and basically just letting me and Matt kind of play together.
That's fun.
It was really fun. It was fun. It was a fun audition.
See, that's way better. There are no fun auditions in the States. It's just a room full of dour people in suits who are just like, go.
Well, we were in like the basement of the BBC and I arrived and then everybody left and kind of just left me and Matt in a room on our own together. And, you know, we're like, hey, hey, kind of, you know, playing it cool. And then basically just ran around the room playing scenes from Doctor Who. And kind of had that freedom, and then everybody came back in their suits, and we just kind of played.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that makes me so happy to know that the audition for the show was that light.
And, yeah, it's great.
And then, did you? I mean, obviously, it's the chemistry is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Did you sort of feel that right off the bat, or did you, was there a little bit of like, oh, let's play around, we'll find it?
No, it's, do you know what I think was really good is that I wasn't massively familiar with the show before and I didn't know Matt before. So I kind of didn't know him as the doctor. So I didn't know, I couldn't kind of preempt him. I didn't know what he was going to throw at me. So then Matt kind of switched into doctor mode. So everything I prepared went out the window and he was kind of running around being the doctor. And he kind of threw me, but in a great way, so that we both, it just felt really, really spontaneous and kind of we both didn't know what each other was going to do. And it kind of, you know, it just went loads of different places. And I think, because Stephen didn't want me to watch the show after that either, he was really keen for me to kind of come in as the companion and see everything fresh. Yeah. And go from there.
That is such an interesting idea because, one of the things that keeps the show fresh over and over again is that everyone's different. All the characters are different. All the interactions are different.
Yeah.
You can love, you know, an interaction between a previous doctor and a different companion and still love the current doctor and a new companion. And
yeah.
And part of the way I guess maybe he does that is by don't focus on anything else. Just take it from how you want to do it.
Yeah, because I watched The 11th Hour with Karen and Matt, and then from that moment I kind of decided not to watch any more because I felt like I just might pick up on something. But I suppose that is the role of the companion, is you're seeing everything for the first time. You're kind of visiting an alien planet for the first time. Yeah. So,
but she seems pretty unfazed.
Yeah, I think... I think she's kind of, that's kind of like the beauty of her in a way. Like, you know, we've had all these things saying like she's a match for the doctor and she's kind of, she's a challenge. But I think it's the kind of thing like she doesn't kind of wear a heart on her sleeve too much. But she's kind of like, she has something to offer as well.
Well, she's, it's, are you, do you have comedy training at all? Or do you have improv training or anything?
No, not really.
Because you're funny on the show.
Oh,
and you,
good. I like that. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a real... It's different. Like it's a new, fresh, fun, playful energy, and you can talk so fast.
I really can. ADR is a nightmare.
you have to match your lip flaps.
Oh my god, I can't keep up with myself in ADR. I kind of make life quite difficult. I talk really fast.
Were you aware of that, or did Stephen push you to?
No, I'm aware now because I've been in the ADR studios back in London for a couple of weeks, but I think that is apparently what Stephen quite liked about the Doctor and Clara together.
Yeah.
Did they cut together the first episode and go, we're 12 minutes short.
Can you just talk a little bit slower?
What happened?
So we're going to reshoot these scenes. Can you talk a little bit slower? But it's interesting because, you know, the Doctor has basically just come off this this relationship with a companion where he was very sort of fatherly,
mm-hmm.
Even though he's hooked up with her daughter. But anyway, very fatherly. But with you, there's definitely, like, you guys seem to be pretty evenly.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of, there's a little bit of stuff.
Stuff?
A little bit of kissy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there was quite a lot of kissy stuff. That was a really fun day, actually, because... it was basically, we played around with the scene on how many different reactions can the doctor have to a kiss. So there should be so many outtakes from that. Like, we did somewhere the doctor kind of like found himself kind of really enjoying it, and then somewhere he was the doctor and didn't quite know what to do. And so there should be, we kind of did loads of different things and then let them pick from the edit which one they wanted to go with.
I wish the BBC would just release like just a montage of all the different reactions, just 10 reactions of the doctor being kissed.
Oh, there are so many. We spent hours doing that scene, actually.
It'll be on the Blu-ray.
That'd be great. River kind of had that a little, was sort of evenly matched with him, but almost in a, I don't know, it was more like they were so familiar, like, her character was so familiar with his, and it was very much like, we've been married for so long, yeah. Don't you even remember, you know? But yours is almost like you met someone at a party and like, oh, this person's fun, and then you hook up, but then you're also playing it cool at the same time.
It's great as well, because going into the kind of what really, because we saw the first episode the other day for the first time, we, the screening we had in London, and me and Matt hadn't seen it yet. But what Stephen has set up for this series basically is that it's kind of like, the way I see it is, it's these two people that are kind of magnetically attracted to each other, but the Doctor, she is an unsolved mystery, an unsolved equation that the Doctor can't figure out. And there's kind of nothing that gets him more than that, that he doesn't have the answer. And basically to her, he's this madman who's turned up on her door, dressed as a monk and like offered her all of time and space. So you've got these people who really get on and really, really like each other. But at the same time, they're kind of looking at each other and the whole time they're like, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? So there's this kind of underlying tension and story that's going to thread through the whole series, which I think is going to be great, hopefully. And you're going to get a really good payoff at the end of the series as well.
Oh, I'm so excited.
The woman who died twice and the impossible girl. And it's kind of all this feeding through the next series.
I saw the first episode too. It's great.
Oh, have you seen it?
I loved it.
Oh, good, good.
And this will go up. Oh, I don't know. Should I put this up? I should probably put this up before. I wonder if I should put this up before or right after. Maybe I'll put it up right before. I'm trying to figure out if we should talk about...
They'll tell us when they want us to put it up.
Yeah, I know. But if we talk about the episode, then we can't put it up before. So right. If we don't talk about the episode...
But I'm pretty sure they wanted it to air before the episode.
Okay, so we won't talk any specifics of the episode. Okay. But I love the... Which this has happened up to this point anyway. But just the idea... That she's not thrown at all by him.
Yeah.
There's obviously something crazy going on. There's something weird. There's some timey-wimey thing going on with her. There has to be, because she's just too... I don't know. She's just not freaked out by him at all.
Not at all. And I think that's the thing that gets him as well. Like, he's kind of used to... He's kind of used to that element of surprise and being able to kind of charm people like that. But she's kind of just by him side, kind of being like, cool, okay. We'll go to space. Great.
Nobody's as freaked out by the doctor as they should be. Like, when you think about it. Everyone's like, okay, I'm on board.
I know, yeah.
Let's go.
Especially like those episodes with Rory's dad, where he's like, okay, you're in a time machine. Oh, all right.
Yeah. Oh, I love him. He's yeah. great, wasn't he?
It was fantastic. Where if you did step into a box that was bigger on the inside and someone was like, oh, I'm an alien, this is a time machine, you'd be like, Jesus! Like, you'd pass
out. Yeah, you'd have a pile of dead companions who'd had a heart attack when they walked into the TARDIS.
The TARDIS is powered on dead companions. They just pitch them in. All the ones that had heart attacks. And if you don't have a heart attack when you see it, that's how he knows.
Yeah, you stick around.
Okay, you're good.
When you find the pool.
So then maybe there's a secret room somewhere.
There's a lot of secret rooms.
Isn't it? Darker Doctor Who.
Emo Doctor.
I think... He gets there sometimes.
I think Moffat... I keep wanting him to show one more room in the TARDIS at some point.
We are doing an episode, this series, called Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, where we basically, we explore the entire TARDIS. But the TARDIS is infinite, so there's kind of infinite number of rooms, but you actually really do get to explore, like, and get
so
to see
excited.
All of it and go kind of into the center, to the heart of the TARDIS, and see what's there.
I know this wasn't necessarily your goal for this trip, Jenna, but you've just made my day so much better. That's fantastic information. I've always wanted to know. I've always wanted to see that.
I can't wait for someone to do a technical manual on it. Like,
Matt has one.
Does he really?
Well, not on the entire TARDIS, but like when he first got the job, he got given kind of what all the knobs and things do on the TARDIS. He has like an instruction manual for the actual TARDIS, and he studied it and kind of, you know, I don't know if, I hope he wasn't winding me up, because I completely bought it.
They should release that.
No, I'm sure someone's going to write it, right?
But like, I kind of go, what does that one do? And Matt will be like, well, this is the defibrillator, blah, blah, blah.
And he actually knows.
Yeah, unless he is actually completely winding me up.
We'll know as soon as this episode comes out. No, it seems like the guys on set that built the TARDIS would.
That feels like something Moffat would want him to do.
And they'd be like, okay, this
like
does
really,
this, this
you
does
need
this.
To really understand how this works so that it doesn't feel random every time.
And he had to give me lessons as well, because, you know, it got to like, I think I've been on the job kind of like about 4 months, but we'd never done the TARDIS takeoff and landing.
Mm-hmm.
And so Matt did it, and he looked at me and he was like, Jen. And I was like, huh? And he was like, We just took off. I was standing still, kind of going, sorry, what?
Like TARDIS driver's ed.
Yeah, and he's like, no. So when I do this, you know, we've taken off. So like, he had to kind of give me a lesson on like the takeoff acting and the landing acting.
That's really funny. Have you been to the TARDIS Museum in London?
No, I haven't. But I live opposite in Cardiff, the Doctor Who Experience. I can see it from my bedroom window.
Oh.
But I haven't been yet.
You live in one of John Barrowman's apartments?
No, Karen lived in his apartment. I haven't.
I'm pretty sure he owns Cardiff at this point.
No. That's really funny that people can walk out of the Doctor Who Experience, and if they know where to look, you should just stand creepily in the window and just not move and see if people freak out.
If someone's smart, they've heard this. They also live near the Experience, and they put a cardboard cutout of you in their window.
I mean, are you prepared for what's going to happen to your life now?
Hope so.
I mean, just in terms of
I think so. I mean, I'm kind of just taking it as it comes, really. But I mean, it's just been a stupid amount of fun. It's a really cool job. The kind of things that you get to do every day, and it's amazing. From when we wrapped last year, like life seemed kind of really dull afterwards because. Yeah. You're literally, you spend, you know, I was like, where are the Cybermen? Like, what's going on? Kind of, why have I not got, like, you know, why am I not running down a corridor right now? Why am I not being chased by something? And kind of the everyday starts to become kind of quite normal after you do a job like Doctor Who. So I'm just kind of enjoying it, really.
You have to wait till Christmas. The Cybermen always show up at Christmas.
We have Cybermen this series.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I can tell you, it's fine. I can tell you all this.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no.
That was kind of to reassure myself.
Are we, we'll check. The BBC will have to approve it, but I'm fine with it.
Are you the companion that finally realizes how slow they move?
They are fast this year. I tell you that much.
Like slow and fast zombies.
Oh, I don't like that.
Fast Cybermen. Did you, have you, wait, the episodes, have you started to get recognized around London yet?
Not much. Again, we just, me and Matt were discussing
you say
this.
That disappointedly.
But it's the question most people ask me. And again, like, are you kind of, you know, are your life's going to change and are you really prepared? And like, it really hasn't, apart from, like I say, I've got this really cool job and I kind of do interviews and stuff. And other than that, it kind of feels the same so far. So I don't know if it will change, but I've got this theory that I'm not going to get recognized as much because I'm short.
What?
That's not a terrible theory. I can see where she's coming from.
Yeah,
with that.
Thank you. Because yeah. But you see, with Matt, you can see Matt a mile off, and he's got a really distinctive walk.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see him. You can tell it's him. You can tell it's Doctor Who from behind.
And even. He has very distinctive hair and a very distinctive head.
Whereas I'm short, so most people kind of look down, like or look straight over me.
Through a sea of Claras.
Yeah, but then I bet Karen's like super tall and a redhead, so she probably got recognized all the time.
Yeah. We'll see. Cut to Comic-Con.
This is interesting.
I might.
Oh, well, I think, you know, I do remember that, I do remember talking to Matt about in London, he's, like, when they came to New York that first time for the premiere, and people were camped out for 2 days and losing their minds, he was like, it's not like this over there.
Yeah.
I mean, that for the first time that happens, I think, you know, it'll be like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, I think I was filming in Cardiff till December. I've kind of been away and doing, like, stuff in London. So I think I'm yet to experience that side of it, really.
She was asking us about Comic-Con when we shot with her in London. And Matt and I were trying to explain it. We think you should just put a mask on and walk the floor.
There's no...
Dress up and walk the floor.
Yeah, there's
You can't walk the floor as yourself.
You wouldn't be able to walk the floor as yourself. People, you would... It'll be like Beatlemania. It'd be Claramania. This is what would happen.
Oh, God damn it. There's already a t-shirt mashup happening right now.
Well, it is. I mean, it's like that's where all the fans will be. It'll blow your mind the first time you see it. But I think in a fun way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're going to be locked in a hotel room the whole time, just staring out at people.
What did you study? Did you study acting in school or did you just start acting like right out of?
I got my first job when I was auditioning for drama school. So I kind of sidestepped the drama school and then kept on working.
Oh, wow.
When you sidestep it, did you say later, suckers?
No.
Oh.
No, I just started working and then it went from there.
And so what types of jobs? Like, do you feel like up to this point there was a certain type of job that you were getting all the time and this is sort of a departure from that, or does this fit in?
Kind of the last 2 years I was doing a lot of period dramas. So this is why I fit, like, you know, kind of for being on the run. You know, I've kind of spent 2 years kind of in corsets and this is a massive departure from that.
They probably hired you because there's less material than putting Keira Knightley in a fucking thing because she's so, like, oh, she's short. It's cheaper.
Well, there's a whole industry in England of just, you could just do period dramas.
Yeah, yeah. And more, and especially since Downton Abbey as well, like, you know, more and more and more getting made all the time.
Did you watch Downton Abbey?
Yeah, I did.
I haven't, I saw a few episodes of the first season, but
yeah,
I've
seen the first season.
How is it?
They have to watch it. Like, you're a chimney sweep when you're 11 and 12.
And then when you're 13, you watch Harry Potter.
14, you watch EastEnders. 15, a little Top Gear. And then when you're 16, that's when they make you watch Downton Abbey.
Well, are there some good, what are some good British, other British television shows that Or do you? Do you? You probably don't even have time to watch television anymore.
I've just been watching Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's not English.
I know. But I'm up to. I'm basically as far as I can watch at the moment, waiting for the next bit to come out.
8 more episodes. I know.
I can't wait for someone to talk about those episodes after they air.
I don't know if that's going to happen. That's the network. That's the other network I work for in the States.
Okay.
Has Breaking Bad.
Ah, okay.
So do you watch Walking Dead at all?
No, Matt is into this at the moment, but I haven't seen any of it.
It's like a period piece, but without corsets and zombies.
Without corsets, but add zombies.
Add zombies, yeah.
So not zombies and corsets.
Not Pride and Prejudice and zombies.
Right.
Did you read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
No.
So when all these sort of supernatural characters started gripping our culture, again, there was a resurgence of vampires and werewolves and zombies. And people went through and, you know, like made Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Or they rewrote all these Jane Austen books with zombies in them. So
yeah, they're making a film of it.
I think they are making a film of it. Yeah.
Why not?
You should. Have you ever done a horror movie?
No, I haven't.
You got to do a horror movie one time.
I did a short film, which is kind of a horror movie, kind of being kind of chased by an alien.
Ugh, I don't like it.
But not in a Doctor Who way. It was quite dark.
What was it?
It's called Imaginary Forces.
Where can we see Imaginary
Forces? I don't know. I've never seen it.
Is it Imaginary Forces?
Maybe. Maybe I just imagined the whole thing.
I mean, it's... When you think about... Because, you know, you were going to go to drama school, and there's drama school acting, but I don't think anything can really prepare you for what I imagine the Doctor Who schedule is like, which is... You have a few days to shoot a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And you're working like 14 hours a day.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's fast. It's really, really fast. But it's kind of, it works best that way. And it's kind of really exhilarating. But it's kind of technical things, like running, but remembering not to get so into it that you lose all of your awareness of the camera team around you and headbutt the camera like I did.
What?
On my first week. Because the thing is, you get kind of, you know, you're being chased and you're kind of getting into like, you know, being scared and I'm running. And I got kind of far too into it that I kind of completely lost my bearings and then headbutted the camera.
It's going to be such a good blooper reel.
Technically, it's a completely different job as well.
Do you have to, so you work all day, and then how do you spend a lot of time at night? Like, because there's a lot of technical jargon for you, and I imagine there's going to be more coming up.
Well, to be honest, it's Matt really that has the kind of the technical jargon. I asked him how he learned it actually, and he was like, he learns it in kind of a song, like a rhythm, and he's like, so he'll when he's got to be like the blah, 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 blah. I keep going blah, 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 but imagine this is like...
Yeah, they're technical terms, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So to learn that kind of stuff, he says it in a way like, I'm going to the shop to buy some Chew-Its and la, 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 and learns it in kind of a way that he can understand and then puts like all the jargon into it. And that's how he gets it into his head. So it's like saying something completely normal and natural for him as the doctor.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's okay for me jargon-wise, really. I'm normally the one going, what? Why? What does that mean?
How much time did you spend in Cardiff? Was it like not? Were you there pretty much for the whole year?
Yeah, like I was there for about 7-8 months last year.
Oh wow,
that's a lot of time to be in Cardiff.
I've never been to Cardiff. I want to go. I at least just want
to. You should come to Cardiff.
I will.
Isn't it in Wales?
Yeah.
I'm not allowed in Wales.
What?
Not allowed in Wales.
Why?
I would just make fun of the alphabet. Constantly. It's ridiculous.
Why?
The Welsh language. Have you ever read anything in Welsh?
Who reads anything in Welsh?
Listen, sometimes when you're antique shopping, you come across some Welsh.
Have you seen Matt's favorite show, Bargain Hunt?
Bargain Hunt?
Yeah, it's the greatest show ever. 12:15 every day, BBC One.
No, I haven't seen it.
Well, take a look. If you're ever at home, not doing anything.
12:15.
You know, what's funny is I was talking to Arthur Darvill about this. After Doctor Who wrapped up for him, he found himself at home watching Bargain Hunt every day.
So were you guys nerding out over Bargain Hunt?
Yeah, we talked about it a bit. I mean, it's fun. It's a great show. You should watch it.
In Bargain Hunt, two teams go antique shopping.
Yep.
And then they have to come
with
back.
With an expert appraiser with them.
I have seen this. Yes. I have seen it.
Yeah, it's great, right?
Yeah, and oh, yeah. And then
everything goes into auction, and then they win whatever the profits are.
Yeah, or if they're really bad at it, they lose money.
Yeah.
That's what happened on
the day. But they don't have to pay out money. Usually they'll win, like, the winning team will win, like, £7.
Chris looks really depressed right now.
He's always depressed.
Because Matt doesn't shut up about Bargain Hunt. He thinks it's the greatest
show. It's amazing.
It's not. It's good. It's, I'm sure it's fine.
There's a translation missing. I think we need to do it over here. Someone needs to do it correctly over here. They tried it, and it was not good.
Are you wearing all green for St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, why?
Oh, that's adorable.
It's what you do. I'm from Boston. We have to do this.
Do you celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
I don't personally. But a lot of people in London do.
I don't either. And it's going to be awful here tonight in Los Angeles.
Yeah, don't go out.
Really?
No, don't.
People are already drunk, and it's 11:30 in the morning right now.
My favorite bar, which is an Irish pub, it's called Tom Bergen's, they opened at 6 a.m.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
And they'll close at 2 in the morning, and some people will be there the entire time. I mean, I honestly think Americans think that St. Patrick is the patron saint of alcohol poisoning because it's so intense. He was just the guy who converted some pagans in the 400s.
He banished the snakes from Ireland, and he will banish all the booze from your stomach at the end of the night.
See, this is a Doctor Who storyline, is that you guys go back, you meet St. Patrick, and the doctor's wearing a green bow tie, and St. Patrick's like, I hate green. It's my least favorite color.
But then when he banishes the snakes, you find out they're just reptilian aliens. That's what he's actually banishing.
Why are you writing this down, Jenna?
I know. I was just about to say, I'm going to get my pad and pen out, and we can send it to Stephen.
You need to be taking notes and tell
Stephen. Seriously, it's all going in. I'm digesting it all.
We're writing.
It's magic.
We've never been lied to more charmingly.
Are you thinking in Doctor Who in the sense that would you go out? Do you go, oh, look, that looks like a TARDIS. Oh, that looks like a Silurian. Oh, look, that looks like a...
You do a little bit. Like, it does take over, your life. I really like to, I'm going to sound a bit sad here, but I really like to walk around London and kind of, like, imagine what would happen if, you know, the TARDIS just popped up and you kind of, the doctor sat there, like, you know.
But if the doctor showed up and there was a TARDIS, would you get in it?
I'd probably have a heart attack and then I'd be added to the pile.
Yeah,
the pile powering the TARDIS.
Exactly.
You would never.
I don't know. I mean, it really depends on what my life situation is.
But then it'd be a really bad TV show.
Right.
if never, it's just a doctor in search of a companion. Then it's just a dating show. Anywhere. It's just an intergalactic dating show.
Oh, my God. Next Red Nose Day, they should just do a short where just he keeps trying to find a companion. They keep having heart attacks.
Do you think that's a character that he can never have a girlfriend? He could never, ever have a girlfriend. He had a wife. But yes, he did, but...
Their marriage was binding.
I know, but I still feel like, you know, he's that classic Greek tragic hero that has to help everyone else, but he's always going to be lonely.
Yeah, like he's always going to be the doctor. I think he's kind of, you know, he has to kind of retain that kind of, you know, he's really cool, but then he's also kind of bit Mr. Bean as well. That kind of bumbling, you know, you can imagine. Can you imagine him on a date? At a table, and I think Stephen even said he was thinking of, this was like way back, I hope he still isn't thinking of doing it, but like the doctor on a date and, you know, the lights are going dim and he doesn't understand, and it's like that kind of, you know, that kind of, that humor, he kind of just doesn't get it quite right.
Right. Do you think that, does that character remind you of anyone that you've ever dated?
No, I've never really been on a date.
What?
I don't know. No, it's different in England. Like, you kind of...
Do you meet up at a pub or something?
I got asked on a date once when I was like 17, 18. And I was so terrified and I really didn't want to go on a date with this guy. So, it was awful. I pretended that I didn't know it was a date.
Poor guy.
Oh.
Should have just said no.
I know, but you put on the spot and then I didn't... So that doesn't really count as a date.
No, it doesn't.
But to be fair, that's what a girl does if she doesn't really want it to be a date.
Yeah, and then it's just drinks.
Because if you really liked the guy, you would have gone.
Yeah.
Kiki, when she was asked to go on a date by Jeff Goldblum, she brought her sister.
Your girlfriend went on a date with Jeff Goldblum?
Yep.
With her sister?
Well, she took her sister because same situation. She didn't really want to go on the date.
Now, Jeff Goldblum seems like a guy like could be going on a date with a doctor and be like, why are the lights dimming? I don't understand. Why are the lights dimming? Jeff Goldblum would have made a great doctor.
It, well, not so great because he couldn't fix that fly machine situation.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the dinosaurs. That's so funny that you've never been on a date. So what happens? You just meet at a pub in groups or?
Yeah.
I mean,
don't get me wrong. I think people in England do go on dates. I just.
Yeah,
I just
they have eharmony.co.uk.
Yeah.
I just.
Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, going on dates is genuinely uncomfortable.
Yeah. Not into it.
That sense, do you think that's kind of a British thing of like, of avoiding, like just not.
I think it's, you know, it's awkward silences for me. That's what I used to be most terrified of when I was younger. Awkward silence. And I think that's like a date thing.
Yeah.
Oh, let's have one now.
No. Oh, I knew you'd do this. I'm just going to keep on talking so we can't
stiff
have
upper
one.
Lip.
If I
come
just
on.
Keep on talking, then it just can't happen. So anyway, Doctor Who.
Do you want to order appetizers? Or?
Oh, God.
This is like the most awkward date ever, isn't it?
Well, you have to understand that you coming on the podcast is basically like a first date with with the podcast.
Okay.
Because everyone's getting to know you. So it's sort of, this is exactly what a first date situation would be like. It would be talking. What do you like to do? And how's the...
So what do you do in your spare time?
Oh, hi. I'm nervous.
I can answer that question for him. He works in his spare time.
Yeah, I work all the time. I don't really have a lot of spare time.
Too bad. You should get some.
I wouldn't know what to do with it. Are you good with spare time?
No.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
Then you're just left alone with your thoughts. Who wants that?
I like to do stuff.
Me too. 6 to 8 hours of spare time a week. It's great. I just bargain hunt.
I just can't. Even if I'm, you know, even as much as I travel, if I'm in a hotel room and I don't have to work until like 8 p.m. that night, I am doing computer work. Like, I just can't.
You can't stop.
Mm-mm.
What about Sunday? Here we are.
Yeah.
Well, Sunday, and then my the show that I do a show that follows The Walking Dead, mm-hmm. where we talk about The Walking Dead, and it that's on Sundays.
It literally follows The Walking Dead in two ways.
It does, yeah. So I work on Sundays, and then usually during when I'm not doing that, I'm doing stand up on Fridays and Saturdays. So it's nonstop.
Pretty ridiculous.
What are you gonna do when you? What do you try to do with your time off when you have time off?
Well, to be honest, it hasn't been much. Like since I've started this, especially since I've started the show, there hasn't been a great deal. But kind of travel, really, kind of holidays and travel and yeah.
Where do you like to go?
Where do you want
to
go? Yeah, that's where we
want. I really want to go. I want to go to Italy this summer.
All right.
I like Italy.
I mean, I was hoping for Disney World, but I mean, that's, Italy's cool too, I guess.
What part of Italy do you want to go to?
I want to get a car and drive around. I want to go to Florence and...
That's good, I guess. You visit the new Pope, you can go to the Vatican.
Oh, that's right.
Hang out with Frankie.
Pope Francis I.
Yeah, Frankie.
Frankie. Hey, Frankie Popes. I've been to Venice and I've been to Milan. And an Italian was my language in college. That was the language I studied in college. And I remembered some of it. But then they start talking at you really fast.
Oh, and then you try, and then it kind of, yeah.
Well, because you know, you have that. Did you take another language?
Spanish.
You studied Spanish? Uh-huh. Do you still speak it?
No, I remember like the first four lines of my my Spanish oral test.
Which was?
Durante las vacaciones, fui en avión con mi familia y durante el día visité las monumentas en la ciudad.
Oh,
yeah,
You're going to do well in Los Angeles.
With that line,
during the holidays, I went to Spain with my family and visited monuments in the city.
Oh my God, that totally reminds me of those language. Yeah, we had to do those language labs too, and it was just all touristy stuff. Like,
where's the bathroom?
Dove il telefono? Dove l'evolo? Qui vicino. E Lago Maggiore. Ho studiato alla scuola. Like it was a lot of, I studied at school. I went to college. Is there a telephone nearby?
Yeah.
Can you hail me a cab?
You hail me a cab? Why can't you hail your own cab?
Because I'm American.
There's a language barrier, not a physical barrier of you putting your hand out to a cab.
please help me. My roommate is bleeding.
So, oh, that's a guts important. That's an important so one. Weird. Especially on St. Patrick's Day.
Italy's lovely. Italy's really lovely. Took a train through from Venice, took a train up into Switzerland and then back to Paris. It was really nice. Do you get to travel a lot in Europe? Like going to Europe for you guys is basically like going to Chicago if you live in Los Angeles.
Yeah. I can get to like Paris in under 2 hours. You can go, I've been to Paris for lunch and then you come back to London again.
I've been to Vegas for lunch.
Oh, gross.
Same difference.
Except Paris is awesome. You went to the Paris Hotel. Have you been to Las Vegas yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, where would you recommend I go? Las Vegas.
Las Vegas is great.
It's not great.
Okay, for you, because you don't like to gamble or drink.
I know, but it's
restaurant-wise, they have amazing food in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I know. Food's
amazing.
All
the best chefs in the world have restaurants.
What's the British equivalent? Because Las Vegas is basically a place where
Piccadilly Circus,
where everyone no, it's not even Piccadilly Circus, but Las Vegas is basically, it's like a planet the doctor would visit where everyone's on their worst behavior.
How good would it be to do a Doctor Who episode there?
I love it already,
Stephen
Moffat.
So what are we doing? We're going back and seeing St. Patrick.
Yeah,
that's what we're gonna make Men on Waves at Pleasure Beach. And then now we have to send the TARDIS to
Vegas. We're gonna do the episode where everybody has the heart attack and nobody gets on.
There's no companion.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my pitch for Vegas Doctor Who: is that the Doctor wants to go back to ancient Egypt, but he accidentally turns up at the Luxor, which is a pyramid shaped hotel in Las Vegas.
You can do a whole series there. Then he wants to go to Paris. He ends up at Paris. Then he wants to go to New York. He ends up at New York.
He's not
New York.
Taking a cab. And then
he wants to go to medieval times, and he ends up at the Excalibur.
At the Excalibur, yeah. And then he doesn't have to travel in the TARDIS. There's just a blue cab that just takes you guys up and down the Strip. People are on their worst behavior in Vegas. It's like
it's literally like The Hangover.
It's exactly like The Hangover, every day, and every day Mike Tyson ends up in your hotel room.
You will see people acting like, you don't necessarily have to do that.
Like, I'm going to see people today, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Every day in Vegas is St. Patrick's Day.
How much time do you have in Los Angeles?
I'm here till Thursday.
Oh, you are? And are you just doing nonstop press the entire time?
It's pretty busy. Yeah. We've got quite a bit of press to do. And a couple of my friends live here as well. So I get to see them.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What do you like to do in Los Angeles? If you lived here for a couple months, is there anything that you particularly enjoyed?
What is there to do in Los Angeles? Should I do?
What isn't there to do in Los Angeles?
I've been to the Observatory in downtown Santa Monica, Venice.
Yep. Go to the tar pits. They're right across the street. Go to the La Brea tar pits. Look at a statue of a sad elephant.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of animals sank in tar, and then their remains are across the street. I don't mean current animals. I mean, like...
Ancient
animals.
And you can go see them?
Yeah, right across the street. There's
literally
a museum.
Across the street.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of dire wolves and mammoths and...
Saber-toothed tigers
and
that's
whatnot.
That's actually pretty cool.
See? All right, that's something you can do.
So,
right next to it, LACMA, you can go to the Museum of Art,
This is very exciting. And I mean that sarcastically, there is basically a giant pit of tar across the street. It's a giant, and it smells like a driveway. And the tar problem is so bad that they have to, it floods under the street, and they constantly have to pump it out because this whole area is, like, the tar is seeping under all the buildings.
Did you park downstairs? You probably got dropped off. But if you park downstairs, there's just tar seeping in the walls.
Seriously?
It's amazing, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's great. That's why this side of the building doesn't have plumbing. There's no bathrooms on this side of the building because of the tar.
So you could go to the tar pits. What do you do in Los Angeles? I don't know. You could go to Melrose.
Where'd they put you up? The London?
No, she's not going to tell you where she's staying.
Well, I mean, this will be long. She'll be long gone by the time this airs.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah. What part of town are you in? Do you know?
I am Beverly Hills way.
You're in Beverly Hills. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Beverly Hills is... It's...
Good restaurants
out
there.
It's worth seeing for a minute. There's not really much to do there. It's just all, you know, obnoxious rich people and shopping.
It's like
I'm
High
probably
Street.
Just going to drink cocktails with love my friends.
Beautiful. Great idea. Where are you going to drink them?
In the sunshine.
That's true. What's the weather like in England right now?
So bad. I was driving around yesterday and I literally just had like my hand out the window to feel that bit of sun.
It's pretty great. We were in Michigan yesterday and it was 30 degrees. I would imagine it was probably snowy.
She doesn't understand that 30 degrees. It was -2.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cold.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Because 32 is freezing for us.
Okay.
But you're on the much more convenient metric system.
Makes more sense for zero to be freezing.
So let's see. You could go to, well, I mean, Disneyland is so great.
Yeah, go to Disneyland. What's wrong with you?
Do you have time? You probably don't have time to go to Disneyland. It's an hour away.
Yeah, probably not.
Does she have time to go to Disneyland?
No, looking for permission. Alexis.
Tuesday? Go Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I'm going tomorrow, so.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll scout it out. Okay. Let you know how busy it is.
It's the Game of Thrones premiere tomorrow, so I'm going to go watch the first ep of that.
Nice. And then,
exciting.
Yeah.
Where do they shoot that? Wales?
Belfast.
Everything's in Wales.
Ireland.
Nope. Okay.
St. Patrick's Day.
Oh my God, it's perfect.
Watching Game of Thrones. I wonder what craziness Tyrion Lannister's up to this season. Everything was pretty messed up at the end of last season. I'm excited.
Yeah,
it's all going to sort itself out in the first episode, I think. And then the rest of it's just going to be a happy time of raising dragons in peace.
My friends, the Sklar brothers, refer to Game of Thrones as tits with a chance of dragons. Just a lot of nudity, and then maybe you'll see a dragon.
Also a bit of death thrown in.
There's some death and some swordplay. It's going to be a lot of dragons this season, though, I think.
I'm looking forward to it.
Game of Thrones. Is that a show? When you watch stuff, are there shows that you're like, oh, I could have done that?
Yeah. I suppose there's shows like that you kind of you watch and you want to be involved in, like Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Sure.
Breaking Bad. I'm sorry, it's not going to be on anymore for you to be on it. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, whenever you're done with Doctor Who, we'll just reboot Breaking Bad. That's what we do in America.
We should just, do you know what? We should just do the pilot of Men on Waves. We should get it together.
which was Breaking Bad. That sounds like thematically Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Men on Waves.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
I'll write it.
Maybe it's the Breaking Bad sitcom Men on Waves. Have you ever wanted to do a? Have you ever done a sitcom?
No, I haven't. I auditioned for some while I was over here.
Yeah.
But no, I've never done one.
I see a lot of. You could do a lot of comedy. I think Doctor Who's going to open you up for comedy.
Oh, I like that. Good. Okay. I kind of played the first two jobs that I had. I was a murderer in both of them. so comedy's good.
Well, you're funny on the show, so that's why I'm actually the first. I guessed wrong because when the first time I saw you, I was like, oh, they brought in like someone with like a comedy background.
No,
that was my guess. Did you like a lot of comedy growing up?
I actually didn't watch telly that much growing up. I really didn't.
You were on the boardwalk.
Simpsons. Yeah. Everyone watched Simpsons growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was on the board. I was working, man. 14 years old.
Scamming old people on the boardwalk.
That, chimney sweeping at night.
Is that what you're doing?
Chimney sweep at night. You can't
see anything.
You can't see if you're doing a good job. You can't
wait
look
a minute.
And... night goggles.
You didn't chimney sweep at all, did you? You don't have black lung. You don't have fingerless gloves. I just imagine it's just the prejudice of it's like every British kid has that picture of them with fingerless gloves with the hat and the soot on the face.
The white circle eyes.
around the eyes.
Singing and dancing the way across the chimney tops.
Do you think, is acting the thing that, like, have you figured it out? Like, that's what you want to do with the rest of your life? Or do you think, oh, at some point I want to open a spice shop?
Spice shop.
Just sell Spice Girls memorabilia.
Oh, that could exist too.
I think it probably does exist.
I'm sure it does.
We stayed in London, and around the corner from where we were staying is the Beatles London shop.
Okay, but that's the Beatles.
Yeah, but still.
No, but still.
An entire store.
Yes, the Beatles. I don't know if the Spice Girls deserve it. The Beatles are still.
But the Spice Girls each have their own distinct personalities.
If you were a Spice Girl, which Spice Girl would you be?
I always wanted to be Baby Spice when I was younger.
Sure.
But now I'm older. I think, to take some serious consideration, maybe Posh Spice?
Posh, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like she did the best of the bunch.
She's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
She doesn't look healthy now, though. She's too skinny. Like, it's almost a little...
She looked so angry at the Olympics that she had to be there. It was pretty funny.
I think I would be...
And also, Ginger was thinner than she was, which I think extra pissed her off.
Is this you reading between the lines? You're like, no, I see just, what's going on
here. I
know
what's going on.
You want to see the Spice Girls reality show is what you want.
I would watch that in a second.
I would watch that.
Who wouldn't watch that?
I would.
Who wouldn't watch that? For some reason, they all have to be in a house, even though they're all millionaires. They're like, you have to live in a house together, just like the monkeys.
That maybe there could be a plot of like five houses, and they're all connected somehow. So they have to interact. So it's almost like a hamster condo or a gerbil condo where it's like they get their own little pieces, but they all come together.
In Help, they all walk in separate doors and they each have their own like sort of like section, but it's all open floor plan and they all live together. The Beatles all live together in separate.
I'm actually surprised there hasn't been a Spice Girls reality show. Like if they were going to do a reunion tour and they decided to document them
but
getting back
together.
They're not
going to do a reunion tour, so it's just not going to happen, Chris.
I'm okay with it. You seemed bothered by it.
I mean, I feel like there's more for them to give.
Do you have any musical background? Have
there's
you ever wanted to do any sort of musical
there.
Stuff?
Yeah, when I was younger, I wanted to do loads of musicals, actually, when I was, like, younger. I actually did a musical when I was 10, and I got the part by singing Happy Birthday to myself. That was what we had to do at the audition.
So you had to do Happy Birthday, dear Jenna.
Yeah, literally. It's quite depressing, isn't it, actually? Happy Birthday to me.
Oh, but so sad.
I would have blown that audition because as a joke, I would have done it crying. And they would have been like, all right, smart ass.
You just pulled cake out of your pocket.
Just a smushed up piece of cake crying.
Then you just put a candle in it and light.
Yeah, and I don't blow out the candle. I just drip a tear onto it.
Just a single one.
Just a single tear and it just...
Why does that make me so happy?
That's the kind of shit that I would do when I was in school. That's why I was unpopular and no one liked me. So I was too busy trying to be funny. Did you have a lot of friends growing up or did you keep to yourself?
I as well as growing up in a theme park, I went to a school which was like a little house and there was like eight people in my year. My best friend was called Ivy Lee and she was Cantonese. But then I went to a normal school when I was about 14.
And
after that,
what was the transition like?
It was okay. I kind of went a bit naughty for a little while. I think like trying to show off and make friends and stuff, like moving from school to school.
What, like stealing street signs and stuff?
No, like kind of like trying to be funny and getting sent outside the class. And we had to wear bow ties. My school uniform was, I had a green bow tie and that was my school uniform. And they asked me in an interview the other week, so like, so, you know, and I was like, yeah, I was like, you know, I went through a phase of being a total rebel. And they're like, well, what did you do? You know? And I was like, I didn't wear my bow tie. And I got attention. The interviewer was so disappointed. She's like, oh, okay. Expecting some, you know, kind of raucous activity.
Expecting like, yeah, the five of us would do like a mountain of drugs and set buildings on fire. But with the same intensity, you're like, I didn't wear my bow tie.
Yeah. I got a detention.
One day my socks didn't match. Yeah, I wasn't really I was always afraid of... You know, there was certainly a lot of social pressures when I was growing up to do stuff like that, but I was too scared. I was always like, we're going to get caught. Like, I was the guy who was like, we're going to get caught. I was never the guy who was like, drive through the window. Like, I was never that guy.
We're
going
to get caught. Instead, watch me sing Happy Birthday to myself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Did you have siblings growing up?
Yeah, an older brother.
What does he do?
He's a joiner.
What's that?
What do you guys call it here? So he does like say if you go in a shop or a bar, he'll like do the interiors of the shop and the bar and fit them all in.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
I knew that somehow.
What do you call it?
Probably
here?
Bargain hunt. Contractor, really.
Contractor. Yeah. Ah, okay.
Yeah, a contractor.
So he's a contractor.
But in America, a contractor goes three times over budget and takes four times longer than
you
they tell
like
you it's
someone
gonna...
who just bought a house. And...
What are you talking about? Are you saying that just because I've owned a house since November and I still don't live in it? That doesn't mean anything.
It means exactly what we all expected to happen.
Do you think London your city? Like, is that where you're going to stay?
Yeah. I'd like to go to New York and like live there for a little bit and move around a bit. But I think London's home.
Yeah.
That's nice. And then you never answer the question, is acting the thing, or do you have any other plans at some point?
No, acting's a thing, yeah. Acting is a thing. I'd like to write. I don't know. I'm going to see. I'd really like to write or, like, I think adapt something. Because I love reading before I see the film. It's kind of, that's my, I read a lot. But for now, it's definitely acting's the thing.
What's your favorite book? Oh, yeah.
East of Eden.
All right.
And what are you reading right now?
I just finished Jamaica Inn.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know that is either. INN? Like, Welcome to the Jamaica Inn.
What?
No.
like Hotel Inn?
Yeah, it's like set in the 1800s. It's quite like a dark kind of Wuthering Heights-esque gothic-y period drama.
So maybe what you'll do is you'll read a book that you really love and you'll adapt
that's,
it.
See, that's what I want to do, yeah. That's what I'd like to do.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you could adapt any book, what book would you adapt?
Maybe Jamaica Inn, just because I've just read it.
All right, so we're going to do this.
Yeah, so I need to write this down. Like, how many TV shows are we making here? We've got the Spice Girls reality TV show.
Okay, that was the fourth show.
Okay.
We just programmed a network, pretty much. We're ready to go. Let's launch.
But now we're talking about feature film now. Jamaica Inn is going to be a feature film.
Well, it could also be a hell of a miniseries.
Yeah, it could be a miniseries.
It could be the roots of our time.
I guess it could. Jamaica Inn.
Roots is the roots of our time.
Yeah, I think maybe that is. We're still in that time. Jamaica Inn.
What's our channel going to be called?
JLC. I love you. Your name, by the way, sounds very Southern.
Really?
It does. Like, I can picture a Southern mom when, you know, Jenna Louise Coleman, get down from there.
Do you know what? People keep calling me Jenna Louise in interviews, and it's freaking me out, because that's what, when I'm in trouble, that's what my mum calls me. So, and every time everyone's like, Jenna Louise, it kind of like still, you know,
nah.
I'm Jenna, really. So Jenna Louise freaks me out. But apparently I'm called Jenna because my grandma, there's somebody on Dallas watched. She watched Dallas.
And there was a character called Jenna?
Yeah.
I don't know if I remember that. And I feel like my parents watched Dallas. I watched that show. Who was Jenna?
Or is there an actress called Jenna? Or the character Jenna? Something from Dallas. So where my grandma got it from.
You could have been Dallas Louise Coleman, so I think you worked out okay.
Oh my God.
Dallas Louise Coleman! Jenna Dallas
Get
Coleman!
Get in here!
Get your butt in here! It was funny, the Southern accent seems to be a lot easier for Brits, because it's sort of British in origin.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know what it is about it. It is easier.
Now, how's your Southern accent?
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Of course.
I did a play with it once, like, Horace, are we going to the dance on Friday night?
Oh, that's normal. That's kind of Texan.
Do you have a date?
You just nailed Reese Witherspoon in Walk the Line.
That was the whole. That's cute. That's funny when you do the accent, you get dimples. It's sort of the Southern. That's what happens. Because you have to talk from the front of your mouth, right? You're talking from the front of your mouth and you're doing the accent because it's all up in here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yours is good.
Yeah. I'm from the South.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. I'm from the South, Jenna. It's not a brag. It's weird. I didn't grow up with it. I mean, my family moved around the South a lot, but I never had that.
Yeah.
I dropped mine in fifth grade.
The Boston accent?
Yeah, the Boston accent. It's pretty thick.
Do the Boston accent.
You coming out later or what? You got to go to the bar with us or what are you going to do? Come on.
You going to go to the bar?
St. Patty's Day. You got to drink some Guinness, motherfucker.
Yeah, you going to go to the parade over there?
You got
to
go over there? You got to see the Sox? See the Sox traded? They traded that bum.
Can you understand anything he's saying right now?
I feel a little bit intimidated.
As you should. That's the Boston accent.
Well, the Boston accent barks at you until you're just like, I'll do whatever you say. Please stop yelling at me. The Southern accent is just supposed to lull you into, hey, how you guys doing? Come on over. It's fine. Get in the van. Don't worry about it. Like, it's a much different. What are you going to do? Are you going back to London from Los Angeles on Thursday?
Yeah, I'm going back Thursday, and then we start the 50th on Monday.
That's what they call it.
I'm so excited.
I read the script on the plane on the way here.
Oh, my God.
Listen, if you want to leave it behind, that's fine.
Oh, my God, you
Don't
guys should.
Don't say that to me. I get, like, really nervous as it is.
I know.
It's like hot on the flight, kind of had a hand over it the whole way.
I had to. I was watching the new episode, the upcoming episode of Walking Dead on the plane last night. And I really did like a check of the neighborhood on the plane. Unfortunately, I was sitting, there was a wall behind me where I was sitting. And the woman next to me was, she was like 55 years old. And she was doing all this paperwork that had to do with education. I'm like, okay, I don't think she watches The Walking Dead. But I still tried to, like, I pulled the screen this way. Just because I don't want to be the reason why it leaks.
Yeah, you don't want to be the one. See, we got our names on our script as well, so they know.
They would know they right know, away. Yeah. If that turned up online or something, there's no way.
Oh, my God. For the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, you guys should kill off Judi Dench.
What?
They did in James Bond.
But just the person Judi Dench.
Yeah, just kill off Judi Dench.
That she gets upgraded.
How did you guess that?
I have an in.
What's the Jamaica in.
Jamaica in. I have a Jamaica in.
That's very cool. Well, it's so exciting, you know, this whole thing, just to be a part of it. I'm excited for you, and then I'm also jealous at the same time. I want to go work in Cardiff.
You could so come to Cardiff.
Run down corridors.
We should go. We've always threatened it. We've always threatened going over there.
I'm just like planning it for you.
They're
you.
Very protective, though. They're very protective
yeah,
of the.
It's a
hard set to get near because they're trying because they have to be so you know they have to guard everything so closely.
Well, you could always just come and hang out outside where like you know all the all of our trailers are in like the outside car park. So that's.
Oh, we can hang out at the car park. Sure. Yeah. Although I don't know why we couldn't just see the TARDIS set. That doesn't change. It's not going to tip anything off.
I think it's just about the idea of having people. In it.
Listen, next season on the Nerdist TV show, we should have Matt walk us through the controls of the TARDIS.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll see if he's telling
making
the
it
truth
up
or
not.
Well, I'm gonna be in London in May.
They've stopped shooting by
then. Oh, yeah, we're not filming. You could go to the Doctor Who experience.
I went to the one in West Kensington. I've told this story before, and it was such a bummer because it was nice, but a bummer at the same time because they gave me a private tour of it. So I was the only person in the entire facility.
Oh, really?
And you go in, and the first room is a TARDIS. You're at the interior of the TARDIS, and Matt comes up on the screen. And he's like, oh, we've got some exciting things, and we're being attacked. And so the way that it's supposed to happen is there's supposed to be a crowd of people around all these different controls. So it's a lot of like, you, turn that knob! But it was just me in there, so I was standing
there. I really want to see it.
And there was a docent, like this woman, and she just looked at me and she's like, well, go on then. And I would have to walk around the other side and like hit a button.
That's really depressing.
It was so depressing. And then you go into the other parts and then it's the Daleks and they're like, we are taking over the TARDIS. But it's just me and all this like smoke blowing and I'm alone crying into my birthday cake.
You will sing happy birthday to yourself.
Happy birthday. Exterminate your candle.
With a single tear.
With a tear. I wish I could cry.
Can I think?
Happy birthday to me. Well, Jenna, I feel like this was a really good first date.
Yeah, it went really, really well.
Chris puts out on the fourth date.
No, we're having the awkward silence.
Oh,
I'm developing a twitch.
I don't feel good. I don't know. Should I just get the check? Should I just get the check then?
Yeah, excuse me. Can we have the bill, please?
Oh, would you? Are you sure you don't want dessert?
I was going to get dessert, guys.
No, I'm good.
Do you want some coffees or desserts?
I've already taken the liberty of ordering dessert.
I'm sorry I brought my friend.
No, you guys go ahead. It's fine. I'll pick it up. Just go.
Oh, where'd she go? She disappeared.
I ordered 3 Eaton messes, and they're all for me.
Jenna, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You were delightful on Doctor Who. And for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, I feel like most people have probably seen it at this point, but if they hadn't, they should definitely go back and watch the Christmas special, and they should watch the episode. Was it the last episode? It was the last episode of last season.
It was the first. Asylum of the Daleks.
Oh, right. I always get the seasons, because of the way the seasons are cut up. Are they cut up that way in England as well?
Yeah. So we had like the first like 5 episodes and then a Christmas special, and then we've got another 8 coming through.
Oh, good. And I'm so glad that Oswin got explained.
Oh, like, Well, she will. She will. It will all happen at the end of this season. We'll get payoff for why Clara keeps popping up and dying.
Oh, good. See, that's good to know. Okay, good.
Yeah, there'll be payoff.
Good, good, good. What if the payoff is just cause, okay, you guys? And then credits.
Again, that'd be quite depressing. No, there is. It's Stephen Moffat, so you can. It's going to kind of be teased the whole way through, and then there'll be good payoff for it.
Is Stephen sort of like a dad to work with at this point? Is he sort of like, and these characters are his children?
I suppose he is. It's funny how like the scripts kind of change the more me and Matt are working together. So they're kind of being written as we're filming all the time. So it's very tailored towards you, so it's always changing.
It's like a dad with two families. Do you guys ever get jealous of Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman?
Well, they're in Cardiff. They're filming Sherlock when we're starting our 50th, so we're going to all be in the same studios in Cardiff.
Fight.
In the parking lot for the first time.
Oh.
So it's going to be like Sherlock and Doctor Who together, and Stephen is like literally in the middle of them both.
I don't know. Well, he does have a... I mean, I used to think that the Doctor and Sherlock were... That basically the Doctor was just space Sherlock. And Stephen was like, no, the Doctor has compassion. Sherlock is a sociopath. Like, they're not they're not the same at all.
It was Matt's answer and Stephen's, isn't it? They're equally as clever as each other, or there's kind of something like very diplomatic about them.
Yeah. Both.
I hope they have some sort of a face-off.
They're as clever as each other. One is responsible for a lot of people's deaths. The other one... If something had gone slightly different in his childhood, would also have been responsible for a lot of people's deaths.
He would have been a serial killer.
Yeah, he would have been Moriarty. If something just went a little bit different in Sherlock's life, he would have been Moriarty.
Wait a minute, you guys.
Yeah.
What if Sherlock... Oh, this is enough. Oh, God.
What if he is Moriarty?
No, not Moriarty. Here's what we got to do, y'all. Oh. That's something we say in the South. Okay, this is the sixth thing that I'm going to throw at you, okay?
Okay, wait, okay.
Okay, good. You have your fake pencil.
Pitch.
Doctor Who goes back. The Doctor goes back to Jack the Ripper, and you find out that Jack the Ripper is actually Sherlock.
Ooh.
Because he's like a sociopath. He's a murderer. Like yeah.
But doesn't work for the current timeline of Sherlock Holmes, though, which is contemporary.
Well, I know, but they could just go back and make a steampunk one.
You could have him go to Ripper Street.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Doctor Who, Sherlock, Ripper Street crossover.
Then throw Copper in there. You got yourself a hell of a
lineup.
Now,
I know this doesn't make a lot of sense because Sherlock is a fake character and Jack the Ripper was a very real character, but I still feel like Sherlock could have been Jack the Ripper.
And then maybe we could all go down to Downton Abbey after that.
Amazing. Okay, in that world, are you an upstairs person or are you a downstairs person?
I've played both the upstairs and the downstairs in that world.
I think you're an upstairs person who's really down to earth, so she thinks more like a downstairs person.
Oh, I like that. Yeah,
I think that's what I think about you.
I'll take that. I played I did Titanic, a mini series, so I played like a downstairs person in that. Like the maid.
Like in steerage?
Yeah, it was in steerage. I was in third class. I didn't even get steerage.
Do you know how much it cost to go first class on the Titanic?
No.
$4,500.
In 1912?
In 1912, which is equivalent to $102,000 now.
Well, that seems like a bad investment since everyone died.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't not everyone. Most of first class lived.
Oh, they did?
A lot of first class lived. Not most, but... More first class live than die.
Oh, yeah, because they were like, we're first class, so we're going to take the rescue boats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The rest of you can go down.
Plus, our hearts are already cold, so the water won't bother us.
Yeah, they're fine. They're building.
James Cameron taught us anything. It's that Terminators are bad.
And that the heart of the ocean should go back.
Right, yeah, of course.
With Jack.
I can't wait. Do you guys, we should all go on the Australian Titanic.
Oh, the Titanic 2?
Oh, yeah, it's being built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's all go.
4 years, you guys.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
There's too much bad cruise mojo going on right now.
No, it's just Carnival.
But this is a prideful billionaire building a new Titanic. It just feels like everyone's going to die. That's no one's getting out of there.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Either way, I'm happy. Some horrible disaster happens, they'll have enough light bulbs at time, so it'll be okay.
Sunday blues. Yeah. Driving down the Pacific Coast Highway, wanting to throw yourself off.
Damn it, why didn't we put enough rescue boats on this one either?
No, they built it
exactly the same.
Exactly.
No, there's too much wood and glass. Damn it, we're dumb. Well, Jenna, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was really nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
And I
heard all about you from Matt, you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're good people, right? That's what he said.
Yeah,
right?
He likes you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Really? What else did he say about me? I'm going to give him this note. Do you like me? Check yes or no.
You know what he doesn't like about you, which he has said to us, to myself on a couple of occasions, that you still dress up like David Tennant.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what he said to you in London?
I ran into Matt at Comic-Con last year.
Awkward.
And I was dressed like Tennant.
Awkward.
And he was like, oh, I see where your heart lies. And I was like, no, Matt, I have pointier features. I look more like Tennant. I couldn't cosplay well as... And it would just all sounded like bad excuses.
Yeah, you're going to have to make it up this year.
Yeah, you're going to do it.
It was almost like if I had turned up with lipstick on my face after an all night thing, and then my girlfriend was like, "What is that?" Nothing. I
just
love
have
you.
Pointier features. I look more like David.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nothing. It means nothing. It doesn't mean anything.
It's nothing. I could just take this off at any time. I should have the 11th Doctor outfit on under the 10th under the 10th, so yeah. I could just rip it off and be like,
yeah.
See,
we should just do it. We should just get you. We'll just make you an 11th.
All right,
we'll just do it.
I have a tweed jacket and a bow tie.
We can
I'll make
this
it
happen.
Work.
I think we can do it.
All right, good.
I'll let Matt know so we can kind of. Stop holding all that resentment.
Yeah. Please do. Let him know that it's fine to let it
I'll
go.
I'll dress up too, and I'll play the time that the doctor got stung by all those bees and he found out he was allergic.
Okay.
Didn't happen yet, but if I were to dress up like the doctor, that's what it
that's
would look
what
like.
That's what would happen. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here, Jenna Louise Coleman.
Thanks.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Congratulations. You
thank
did it.
You did it! Cool first date.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 700,000 high-quality video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code Nerdist3.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.